Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony V and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday, 1956, Don Larson's Perfect Game. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to the Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. Chris Vanini joins us from The Athletic to talk some college football. How are you? Did I get your last name right?
Vanini.
All right. As we head in, a couple of games under the belt for the SEC, for example, let's start with them. It's hard to make proclamations on where certain teams are, but Georgia and Tennessee has got a lot of intrigue now as Tennessee has won 8 in a row going back to last season. Are you buying the Volunteers? How are they looking in 2022 games in?
They're looking improved. You know, that's what we've seen under Jeremy Pruitt with them, is that they continue to get better. The quarterback play is a little bit better. The defense is a little bit better. They needed a kind of a fluky punt thing to hold on against South Carolina, but then they handled Missouri. You know, they've won SEC games by multiple scores over this 8-game winning streak, something they hadn't really done for quite a while. So they continue to get better. Is that good enough to go into Athens and beat Georgia? We're going to find out.
Yeah, in terms of what Georgia did to Auburn, how much of that was what Georgia does defensively, and how much of it was what Auburn just struggled to do offensively on their own?
I think you have to give a lot of credit to Georgia, because, I mean, you remember that first game against Arkansas, and Georgia didn't look great. You know, they offensively they struggled for a while, defensively they were okay, but it took them a while to kind of pull away. But then you see Arkansas goes and beats Mississippi State the next week. So maybe Arkansas is a lot better than we thought. And then Georgia kind of handles its way against Auburn. So you got to give a lot of credit to Georgia. That defense still remains one of the best in the country. They're going to shut down the run first. It's what they always want to do. So Georgia looks like the team now that we thought coming into the season.
What is your thought process as you cover college football this year in all of the different scenarios in which we've got in place, conference-only games, one non-conference game for some? When you look at a conference like the SEC that's just staying within itself, playing only conference games, as schedules then got harder, for how much wiggle room do you give teams in terms of where they're put in the standings or how good they really are as we progress in the season and the schedule is tougher?
Yeah, I think you have to give them some wiggle room. I mean, look at a team like Kentucky. They go to Auburn and they nearly beat the Tigers, a game that was close until the fourth quarter. They play Ole Miss and they lose because they miss an extra point in overtime. That's a team that's sitting at 0-2, but they're not far from being 2-0, and that only adds to the depth of the conference. You look at an Arkansas, like I said, they beat Mississippi State and then play well against Georgia. Some of these teams that are typically in the lower or middle tiers might be better than we thought. And then you throw in the Georgias and Alabamas, and you're going to have to give all of these teams a little bit of leeway. That the question is, and the question I had coming into the season was, is the SEC going to beat itself up too much?
Right.
And put itself up in a tough spot for the playoffs? We've got Alabama, Georgia in a couple weeks. Now that game was already on the schedule. It wasn't an added game, but when you have all these conference games against each other, there's going to be more losses just by math than you would have had otherwise. And is that going to be enough for one or two teams to stand tall at the end and be able to be in the playoff? We'll have to see.
Let's go to the Big 12 Red River Showdown this weekend in Texas and Oklahoma. It's one of the historic rivalries in the sport, but both are coming off losses. And in Oklahoma's case, two straight. What is ailing the Sooners in these two conference losses?
Their quarterback play is not Heisman worthy, for one. Which has been for three straight years.
Right. I mean, what a bar!
Rattler's been good. He just hasn't been that good. And the defense has clearly taken a step back compared to the step up they made a year ago. But you also got to remember, so they lose to Kansas State and Iowa State. Those are teams that have given Oklahoma fits for a while. Kansas State beat Oklahoma last year. Iowa State beat Oklahoma a few years ago and needed a two-point conversion stop for Oklahoma to win, I think, last year. So those were already two teams that gave Oklahoma trouble. But when you have those early in the season and you have them as both losses, suddenly we see Oklahoma lose two straight games. They hadn't done that since 1999, Bob Stoops' first year.
Right.
So now you're kind of I don't want to say panic mode, but if you lose this game to Texas, then we're in kind of territory for Oklahoma we haven't seen in decades.
Let's go to Clemson and Miami. What is it about the Hurricanes? We know Clemson. We got an idea about them. Here comes Miami. Derek King, for we might remember him when he played for Houston. What is it about the Hurricanes in these three games that they have played that sort of closes the gap with what Clemson has had to offer?
Well, Miami might be able to run the ball. That's the biggest question I have. Cameron Harris, the running back. Derek King, the quarterback. I want to see if Miami can move the ball on the ground, because in their first three games, they really have done that. Miami's defensive line has been good. We expect the defense to be pretty good like it has, but I want to see if Miami's going to be able to run the ball against a defensive line like Clemson.
Florida State and Notre Dame. I'm old enough to remember when this game used to matter. It was a big deal. It's not so much anymore with Florida State struggling and under a new head coach, but Notre Dame at 5, two games into the season, what do we know about the Irish?
You know, I have them in that top tier of teams. I think there's maybe 5 or 6 teams right now that look like the top group. I put Miami in there right now as well. When you get kind of outside the top 6, then you don't really know what you have. I mean, Notre Dame, they're a team that's going to contend for the playoffs like they do most years. Ian Book hasn't looked as sharp as we thought, but, you know, I don't think they'll have any trouble with Florida State here. And I expect Notre Dame to handle it pretty well.
Let's go to the other team in Florida, the Gators. They're ranked 4th. They've had 2 good wins on their schedule already, and they go play Texas A&M. Dan Mullen showed what this team was going to be doing, look like with Kyle Trask last year. Looks like he's got it going again this year. What do you know? What do you like about the Gators? And what can Texas A&M do in College Station?
Yeah, I think this team is going to score a lot of points all season, and I expect them to do it Saturday. I mean, Kyle Pitts already has, I think, 6 touchdowns through 2 games, the tight end for Florida. Really good player. This is the offense that Dan Mullen was always trying to build there. I do have maybe some concern about the defense, given the amount of points Florida has given up in 2 weeks to South Carolina and to Ole Miss. So that's kind of my biggest question. I think Florida should win this game. I don't have a lot of faith in Texas A&M right now, but I'm curious to see if A&M is able to move the ball against that Florida defense.
Chris, I want to ask you, just as a general college football guy that's kind of navigating new waters here, with games being postponed and the schedule kind of being thwarted, has it been more difficult to evaluate where teams really are, given where we were in the offseason and some uncertainty about this season? Or how have you progressed as we're like a couple of weeks in? How have you been able to evaluate what you're seeing so far?
Oh, yeah, I mean, without a doubt and stuff. I rank every team. Normally, I rank all 130 teams every week.
Yeah.
But I'm only ranking the teams that have played, because you're not going to get Pac-12 teams till November. I don't want to be putting up 5-0 teams or 6-0 teams against teams that haven't played yet. So I'm only ranking the teams that have played, because I have to see something from a team before I start to evaluate them. But we're already into week 6 now, and you've got some teams that have played 1 or 2 games. It's tough. So in my rankings, you have a lot of teams that you're going to rise and fall very quickly week to week until it settles itself out by basically late November. You know, Mississippi State goes and beats LSU. I put Mississippi State top 5. I mean, I felt like they should be. That was the most impressive win of the season. But then they lose to Arkansas, and I got to bring them way back down. But I also move Arkansas way up after that, because it's only been 2 games. I try to base my evaluations on results, and that means a lot of fluctuation, a lot of volatility early. And, yeah, it's tough to evaluate teams after 1 game, 2 games. You usually need a year or two for this to play out. It's just going to take us to week 9 or 10 before we kind of really get that sense.
And does the absence of those kind of kickoff classic games, the bigger ones that we had to throw away, do they matter? I mean, they're fun for fans, but in the end, is there a missing element to early season evaluation because of it, or conference games are really where we are anyway?
Yeah, it does. I mean, a lot of those non-conference games, you know, I think Alabama USC was supposed to play this year. Those are, those are big opportunity games for teams, and we didn't get any of those. A lot of them, again, aren't doing non-conference games, or they're doing one or few. And so we have to evaluate them against themselves back and forth, and that becomes tough in a place like the SEC. Are they all good, or are they all maybe not so good, and they're just playing close against each other? We don't really know, and we're not going to know, basically, this year.
Yeah, we got some good matchups this weekend. Chris, thank you so much for your time. Chris Vanini joins us from The Athletic, talks some college football. Really appreciate your insight into some good matchups coming up this weekend.
Yep, should be a good weekend of football.
You got it. Thank you so much. We'll get you up with you down the road.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You got it. And again, Progressive Guest Line. Progressive proud again to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and some plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. As we continue along, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.